Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Let's see what we have on the docket today. A Lori Vallow case update. This is going to get ugly and fast. Second, a hospital patient dies after an apparent social distancing attack. A horrific case from Wisconsin, and our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Yes, we are going casual today because, well, we never get to see anyone anyway. So I guess it really doesn't matter to wear a coat and tie at a minimum. Either way, thank you for taking the time to watch us today. If you haven't already done so, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell for notifications, and always leave us a comment. First on the docket, a Lori Vallow case update. As you may recall, Lori Vallow, charged with the disappearance and the desertion of her two children in Idaho. She refuses to give up their whereabouts, and that's why she remains in custody. She wants to have a bond reduction yet again, even though it's been reduced from a higher bond down to now $1 million cash property or surety. And she simply cannot make it, so she wants a second bite at that apple, or actually third or fourth, I believe, at this point. But it really doesn't matter. She's not going anywhere. It's not getting any lower. The reason why I say this is going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly quickly, is the fact that the attorney for Ms. Vallow, a Mr. Means, who doesn't necessarily specialize in criminal defense cases, has filed a motion for discovery. And in that motion for discovery, request for production of documents, he asks for everything related to all of Lori Vallow's deceased husband's murder, her brother's death, her fifth husband's deceased wife's death. Now, understand, that has absolutely nothing to do with the charges that are before the court, all right? So who knows if they're trying to preempt something in the future or try to put some spin on it, but the reality of it is those documents are probably not in the care and custody of the prosecutor there in Idaho. And even if they were, they're probably part of an investigation that hasn't been filed yet, and I'm not sure of any relevance that it has to do with this particular case. Now, the attorney may try to make something out of it, but we'll wait and see. The thing that's going to get interesting is that the attorney for the prosecution filed a notice of non-service. Now, what this means is every time you file something with the courts, you also have to serve the opposing counsel with the document. There's no delay. You don't drop it in the mail. It's all electronic these days. So they should get it. And so under the Idaho rule, apparently the district attorney has 15 days in which to respond to that request or file an objection or say it's not relevant, then they can have a hearing to decide whether the documents need to be turned over at all. In this particular case, the DA is saying, hey, probably not bad faith, because you know they can't prove it. But all we're saying is we've checked every mailbox inbox that we have in this particular case, and there's nothing to indicate that we've received it, okay? Now, when things are already getting off on this footing, things are going to get ugly. Because let me tell you how it normally is. Normally, when you have a case and you think, hey, I'm missing something in the discovery, you don't file a formal request with the court. That's kind of last resort. You call or you send an email to the district attorney or his assistant that's going to handle getting you the documents and say, hey, I'm missing this. Can you please produce it for me? Only if they refuse to produce it or if a lengthy amount of time goes by and they fail to produce it, do you get involved with the court. And sometimes the court has to decide, and I think there's going to have to be a hearing as it relates to these items requested, as it relates to all the dead bodies trailing Lori Vallow's in her wake. I don't think the judge is going to make them produce it, but we'll wait and see. Maybe he wants it to be produced so maybe we all can see and hear about it ourselves. Don't know exactly why the attorney is requesting this information. I'm not sure what it has to do with the elements of this particular case, simply that they were abandoned. And, you know, he's requesting all types of reports relating to the autopsy and toxicology of all these deceased people. I mean, is this some sort of, I just can't imagine what defense this may be. If the kids were taken away to a more safe location, let them know. I'm sure they'll receive lots of care and attention these days from social services and the state of Idaho or wherever they may be. So I think this is going to get ugly. I think it's going to wind up in a dispute. And I also think that this attorney, unless old husband number five, Chad Daybell, is going to spend his life insurance policy from his deceased wife. We already know they spent a little bit of it, you know, because they got married 2 weeks after his wife passed away in Hawaii. He doesn't seem to be that interested in spending it on bond. We'll see if he wants to continue spend it on an attorney. With the amount of discovery that has been turned over in this particular case, it's going to take a lot of time. And he's already saying he can't go do it at the jail. But the reality of it is that that takes time. It's expensive. And he's going to burn through that retainer really, really fast. We'll see if Chad Daybell steps up. What do you think? Do you think he's going to let Miss Vallow handle this one on her own? Or do you think he's going to step up and help her out? Is he saving all that money maybe for his own defense? Let me know what you think. Next on the docket, a tragic case out of New York. Now, at the Woodhull Hospital in Brooklyn, there was an attack that took place. Now, the attacker, the alleged attacker, is 32-year-old Cassandra Lundy. And the victim was 86-year-old Jannie Marshall. Now, she was at the hospital for some sort of bowel obstruction. Obviously, concerns related to the coronavirus. Her family was not allowed to be back in the emergency room area with her. Apparently, Ms. Marshall also suffers from dementia and at some point began walking around. Apparently, she became disoriented and made her way to the area of Ms. Lundy and may have grabbed onto her IV bag at some point or lost her balance. Needless to say, Ms. Lundy pushed, shoved, whatever you want to call it, Ms. Marshall. Ms. Marshall fell, hit her head, and ultimately passed away as a result of that injury. Originally, when the police were called, Ms. Lundy was issued a citation for basically disorderly conduct, you know, causing a public disturbance, not a big deal. Now she's been charged with aggravated assault as well as manslaughter. According to police reports, Ms. Lundy stated, quote, "She got into the defendant's personal space," end quote. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happened. I know a lot of people are on edge, and apparently neither one of these patients were there for a COVID coronavirus concern. This is just an unfortunate set of circumstances. Obviously, Ms. Marshall was much older and probably deserved a little more attention by the hospital and certainly did not need to be pushed, apparently, as Ms. Lundy is alleged to have done. Ms. Lundy, we get it. Everyone's nervous, concerned, but we're talking about a virus. We're not talking that you turn into some sort of zombie or anything like that. It's a virus, and 99% of the people that get it recover, okay? Let it go. You would have been fine. For God's sakes, you were at the hospital. And hopefully with everything that New York was getting, they would have been able to test you immediately to see if you had been infected, if that was your true concern. What the hell is going on in the world today? Just don't get it. Next on the docket, a sad and horrific case out of Wisconsin. The prosecutors in Wisconsin have charged a teenager with the slaying of a University of Wisconsin physician as well as her husband. The suspect is the victim's daughter's boyfriend. That's right. This teenager is named Kerry Sanford, and he's now charged with two counts of murder in the first degree with a deadly weapon. And a co-defendant, Elijah LaRue, has also been charged with accessory or as an accomplice to these murders as well. Each one of their bail is set at $1 million apiece. Needless to say, both remain in custody. According to the affidavit, Mr. Sanford's girlfriend was the daughter of the victims. Joggers found the victims at a popular recreational area at the Madison, Wisconsin campus on March 31st. Both of the deceased were shot execution style. It's alleged that Mr. Sanford went to the house of his girlfriend's parents, took them at gunpoint to this location, and then shot them both. Dr. Potter was wearing pajamas. Her husband, Mr. Carr, was in underwear. It's also alleged that Mr. Sanford confessed to some friends who overheard a conversation with Mr. LaRue when there was information that one of the victims may be alive, and he was bragging that he had shot two people and that he hit them, so there's no way that they could still be alive. We'll see if there may be one more co-defendant added to that case, Mr. Sanford's daughter. We'll have to wait and see. But like all people that we discuss here on Crime Talk, they are all given the presumption of innocence until and if they are convicted in a court of law or plead guilty. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day comes from Sioux City, Iowa. And our contestant today is 53-year-old Sean Salmon. Now, what Miss Salmon did is not very smart, but I guess she has a little bit of a mitigating factor in the fact that she was apparently high as a kite on methamphetamine. Now, what is a little concerning is that Miss Salmon is a psychiatric mental nurse practitioner and works for two medical facilities in the area. Apparently, Miss Salmon has expressed great concern over people not social distancing. But it doesn't mean you can't go down to your friendly neighborhood meth dealer and get your little fix. And what Miss Salmon apparently became concerned and paranoid after using some methamphetamine because she went to the Sioux City Police Department, asked the police to check her meth to make sure that there was no COVID-19 in her meth stash. Needless to say, that did not go well for Miss Salmon, and a subsequent search of her vehicle found some 14.4 grams of methamphetamine, some marijuana, and a lot of drug paraphernalia. As we talk about oftentimes on the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day, people that make these decisions are oftentimes under the influence of drugs, and it greatly affects their ability to make good decisions. Just another example of that. Thanks for watching Crime Talk today. We hope that you all are staying safe, exercising some social distancing, and for God's sakes, wash your hands. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.